So the title of this article is Seven Things Old People Do That Young People Are Sick Of. And I was hesitant to click on it, Raven, because I didn't know if I would fall into old people category or the young people category.
Yeah, that feels like truth.
Let's go through them because I realized I'm actually somewhere in the middle.
Oh, here we go.
Which makes complete sense.
You're toeing the line.
Yep.
All right, go.
All right. Claiming that the customer is always right. Employees should be allowed to stand up for themselves if someone's being unreasonable. I agree with the young people on that. The customer is not always right. There's a lot of people out there that are always out to get something for free, and it's not cool.
That's because you have a business background, though. If you were just somebody that was working for somebody else, you might not feel that way. Business background makes a difference.
Mm.
But here's the thing. Business background, a lot of times you also realize that doesn't matter if they're right or wrong. You're just going to give them something to go away anyway.
So in this situation, I'm young and you're old. Okay, number two.
Okay.
The workhouse mentality at most jobs. Mm. Going above and beyond is great, but shouldn't be expected all the time, especially at low-paying jobs.
Oh, you are the old school on that. You work hard all the time, every minute.
I actually saw this, and I was like, this is what's wrong with America. If young people think that they shouldn't be working hard all the time trying to succeed and get ahead.
And those next three statements made you sound even older.
Right. Yeah. Number three, acting like it's fine to be bad at technology. Just because you're older doesn't mean you can't learn the basics. I agree with the younger generation on this. There's no reason why you can't keep up with the times, figure out what's going on, possibly learn how to use Instagram, Raven.
I mean, Instagram. I don't need Instagram.
Here
I learned
go.
How to use a computer and an email.
Okay.
That's it.
How come you don't check your emails?
That's the end. The next technology I'm going to use is going to be something that makes me float, mm-hmm. starts my car and allows my car to float, or a spaceship.
Okay. Number four, popping in for a visit. Young people always call first. Oh, I agree with that. Mm. You should never just show up at somebody's house unexpected. Who knows what they're doing? They could be taking a nap. They could be in the shower.
Well, wait till you're retired. Okay. You're going to be popping up all over the place.
Yeah. Hey, just wanted to see if you're home. I was in the neighborhood.
It's your girl, Anna.
younger people think it's very annoying that older people call instead of text unless it's an emergency. I agree with that.
Okay. Yeah. I'm with that. I like text because then I can put it off and deal with it when I want.
This one, I kind of was like in the middle, and I don't know. I see both sides on this. Making people feel bad for not owning a house yet. I think it has become so expensive to own a house, and I think it's so hard for younger people to have like the money for down payments and all that. I mean, I know when I was starting out, if I didn't have my parents' help, there was no way we would have been able to buy our first home.
I don't know. Broke is broke, right? If you ain't got the money, you ain't got the money. So I don't know if it's necessarily an age thing.
And number seven is that all the participation trophy jokes. Sure, young people got them, but their parents and grandparents handed them out. So who's really to blame?
Oh, you're both to blame.
Yep.
And that's what's wrong with this country.
Yep.
He's the keeper of the castle.
He didn't weed whack the lawn all summer.
He's a caring dog dad.
The dog hasn't been out since 2 o'clock.
He's the romance king.
We haven't been on a date in 6 months.
It's time for Raven's report card.
Every week we check in with Raven's wife, Alicia, to see how he's been behaving as a husband.
How are you?
I'm good. What's new and exciting?
My husband's thumb.
Yeah, so how did he do with the surgery?
Oh, he did good. Yeah. I mean, he was awake for it. You know, I was happy. I didn't have to worry about them putting him to sleep or anything. But he can't do anything. Like, he can't tie his shoes. He can't do anything. So that's interesting.
Did he make you get up and tie his shoes this morning?
Well, it was the first time that I figured it out when it was really, really, really swollen after. I was like, wait a minute. How am I going to do this? No, it was still numb. So I just powered through and did it. But I could tell that it definitely wasn't good for my body or my recovery.
I mean, we have to get you the shoes that have the Velcro, like the young children have, like Dakota, my three-year-old. She loves the Velcro.
In a few days, I'm sure I'll be fine. Thank you.
You can crisscross them and be very fashionable. You crisscross the Velcro straps in the front. That's what all the kids are doing now.
Cool.
I told him to wear his ugly snow boots. They zip up, but, you know.
You guys went to go cut down your tree. How'd it go?
Picking it out and cutting it down actually went well this year. It has some issues here in the house. The star is leaning totally to the side.
Yes.
We have a spider problem because the place we go doesn't have a tree shaker. It's a little challenging this year, but it's up.
The last year that I got a tree, there were so many spiders in my house that I swore I was never going to cut a tree down again. So I don't. I always go to like a grocery store place and pick it up.
Mm.
And I haven't had that problem since, but I wonder if it was just a one-time thing. I've never heard of a tree shaker? What's a tree shaker?
Oh, yeah. They put it on this like platform and it shakes it, you know, for the bugs, pine cones, anything like that. But that didn't happen at this place. They don't have one.
And it's got really weak branches. So there's like these big empty spaces where you can't hang anything. And it makes me, apparently I have like ornament placement disorder. I'm really neurotic about it. And I guess they hate decorating the Christmas tree with me. I found that out this year.
Oh, wait a minute. Do you do the thing where they put the ornament on and then when they turn around, you take it off and put it somewhere else?
No, that would be better, actually, if she did that.
Oh, I also do that.
No. What she does is, first off, the ornament that you go to pick up, she tells you that's a dumb ornament.
Okay.
Which I don't know why we're keeping all these dumb ornaments if they're dumb ornaments.
That is not the case. The special ornaments should go up first before the extras.
I mean, we have two boxes of extras that there's no room for at this point. But then you'll go to put up the ornament and she'll say that placement is wrong. So I told her right from now on, I said, instead of letting it bother you when we're actually decorating the tree, just let us decorate the tree. Say that it's beautiful and then move them around when we're not home. Then nobody's feelings are hurt. We won't care.
Gonna have to work on that.
I've gotten so much better. I used to be the person where like the kids would go put the ornament up and I'd be like, no! And there were so many rules. Like, those go in the back.
Yes.
Oh, you can't put two ornaments on the same branch. Oh no, you can't hang from the lights. And then I realized, wait a minute. These are all things that my mom ingrained into my head that are fake. Like, there are no actual rules.
They're rules you made up.
Right.
That's
there are rules that my mom made up that I believed to be real things that are not.
They're self-imposed pain is what they are.
So this year when Dakota, my little one, like took a really ugly ornament and put it right in the front, I told her it was beautiful and I let it go.
I need to learn how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Did you move it the next day?
No, I'm going to let it be there.
Gosh,
I'm going to let it ride it out. It was a poop ornament from when poop emojis were really popular.
Oh,
it's
that
a
is
rainbow
an ugly
poop.
Ornament.
And I let it be right in the front of the tree. I don't care. I'm going to let it ride. That's where she wanted it. That's where it's going.
Look, you have come very far.
I have. Or I've just given up. All right, what kind of grade would you like to give Raven for the week, Alicia?
I mean, he gets an A for tolerating me and my OCD, but he's getting a B because, you know, he could have helped more.
There sure are a lot of kids on the naughty list this year. Let's check Anna and Raven's Santa tip line.
Santa tip line is 833-431-0905. You can leave a message 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All our job is to help the big guy out. Help him know who's been good and who's been bad.
Yeah, he's busy. All right, so all hands on deck this time of year.
Yep.
Message received yesterday.
On the naughty list, I'm going to put my little sister on the list because she's mean and she bites me and she pulls out my hair.
Oh, boy.
That's a lot.
I mean, that is enough.
Right.
And toddlers, you know, here's the thing is that when kids are really small, nobody ever goes, oh, that's terrible. That's vicious. Everything that they do is cute. But they're stronger than you think they are.
As a mom of a biter,
yeah.
As I'm trying to work through it, I can tell you firsthand it's not cute.
Yeah.
And that it's actually terrible. And when people say that it's cute,
yeah, they think
bite,
it's funny or whatever.
They think it's
but
funny.
They don't have to live with it.
Right. No, I have marks on my face. No one talks about the mom abuse that goes along with that.
It's true.
Yeah.
Message received yesterday.
I like to put my brother on the naughty list because he teases me about my boyfriend. I would like to put Zachary on the nice list because I love him.
Oh, boy.
I said it.
I love him.
Right.
I love him. I love you, Zachary.
I don't care if the world knows.
I know we're eight, and I know they're saying that the odds are against us. But everything we do and everywhere, every time we see each other in class, I just want you to know that I love you. I love you to the end of time. It's going to last forever.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty cynical. Pretty cynical.
I love when little kids are in love. It's so funny.
Yeah.
Message received yesterday.
Go ahead.
Hi.
What's on hold up?
I need Bobby.
So hi, Santa.
Hi, Santa.
Are you a good boy or a bad boy?
I'm a good boy.
Yeah, is Adam a good boy or a bad boy?
Bad boy.
Adam is a good boy. All right.
Chaos happening there.
We'll see you soon, Santa.
See you.
Bye. Say bye.
Bye.
One kid is completely focused, ready to go to talk to Santa, and the other one is having a straight meltdown.
I'm going to guess that Adam is the one that's screaming that he's been reported as a bad boy.
Clearly.
Yeah. What do you have a secret stash of? 1-800-330-9999. In the news this week, Canada had to dip into their maple syrup reserve. Who even knew they had a secret stash of maple syrup?
I mean, it makes sense for Canada, but it's also strikingly crazy.
Right. And then President Biden said that he had a reserve of oil or something like that.
Yeah. Some people have oil. Some people have gold. Maple syrup, liquid gold.
What do you have a secret stash of? 1-800-330-9999. Anna and Raven.
So my secret stash is of batteries, like any battery that you could possibly need, all the way from D batteries down to like AAA. I mean, I have probably over 100 batteries stocked up and saved up. Not even sure what we're going to use them for, but you just never know, right?
Mm-hmm. My husband bought a Costco size of the 9-volt.
Oh.
I don't even understand. I can't name one thing in our home that takes a 9-volt battery.
How about your smoke detectors?
Your smoke detectors!
Well, there's what, four of them in the house? We change them twice a year. We need 100 batteries.
Would you believe that I have 8 smoke detectors in my house? 8. Every single time we have the clocks change,
yep.
I always tell my wife, can't we just wait one more time?
No.
And then she always reminds me how terrible that would be to do that. Mm-hmm. So I spend like $70 in batteries like every 6 months.
Just go to this lady's house.
The Costco membership, though, is such a big deal.
Right.
Because once you get that and you see batteries in bulk, that's when you start.
Yep.
That's when you start a hoarding movement like this with the battery stash.
Costco is a gateway drug yes. to now the battery hoarding.
Now they have the round ones, like the cell ones for your car remote and everything.
Yeah.
And they have 12 of those in a pack. What would I ever need 12 of those for?
In case your car battery died 100 million times in the remote.
Every one of them has a different number on it.
Yep. So you know what they're for.
Yeah, you got 10 years worth of batteries for one gadget.
Yep. Never going to use them all.
I've got a secret stash of propane tanks at my house.
What are you going to do with all of them? How many do you have?
See, this is the thing. Whenever you tell somebody you have so many propane tanks, they actually think that you're building some sort of something to blow up
or
whatever.
It's immediately what I thought. I was like, Raven, right. I know you well. You shouldn't be saying that out loud.
I have 5 propane tanks. There's the one that's attached to the house. That one's a monster. Mm-hmm. It's like a 100-gallon thing. But I have like 4 of the ones that you use in your grills or whatever.
For what?
Well, 2 is a good idea to have because you just never know when you're going to run out of propane.
Well, that's good planning.
Third one is for the zombie apocalypse, and the fourth one is when I got, you know, the patio heaters.
Oh.
Which, okay. By the way, those patio heaters stink.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're no good. So now I just have all these propane tanks all over the place.
Oh, my gosh. I'm looking at our Facebook page at Anna and Raven. Kathy says she has a hidden stash of scissors. That's strange.
I mean,
like, how many scissors does a person need?
You can only use one pair at a time.
Right.
Let's say if you had one specific for food, another one for fabric, and then another for paper. That's 3. I count 3.
What do you have a secret stash of? 1-800-330-9999. What do you have a secret stash of? 1-800-330-9999. So Biden released his oil reserve. Who even knew we had an oil reserve?
Well, they have it for like wartime. It's good to have a little bit of a backup when you're representing for an entire country.
I guess so. The bigger thing that caught our eye was that Canada released their maple syrup reserve. Like, what?
What? You would think Canada also has an oil reserve, but I'm not sure. I know that they have maple syrup now. I know that.
They supply the world with maple syrup. They have to have a reserve, I guess.
We have a secret stash of chips in the other room, if you didn't know, in the producer's studio.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's just a cabinet full of chips.
Raven, I know, because every day, around 3 times, you disappear and then you come back with a bag of chips. You know what I have a secret stash of at my house that's very strange?
What's up?
Bouncy balls. We have an entire drawer filled with bouncy balls. At some point, we became hoarders of them, me
really?
And my daughters. We have, I'm not exaggerating, 120.
Like the ones that come out of a gumball machine?
Uh-huh. Every time we see a gumball machine that has it,
yeah.
We buy them. And we stash them in that drawer. We don't play with them. We buy them, we bring them home, and we put them in that drawer. Isn't that weird?
You know what the nightmare is the bottom of that drawer falls out.
And
now there's
everywhere.
Just bouncy balls bouncing everywhere.
It's complete chaos.
Right. It'll take you forever to gather those back up.
1-800-330-9999. Santa and Raven, what do you have a secret stash of?
Coins. Ever since the whole coin shortage thing, I've been just hoarding them coins. Dimes, pennies, quarters, and, you know, I got a big empty water jug of just filled with coins, and you know, you just never know.
I mean, I think we do know. If there's no coins out there, so is the hope that the coins, that it's going to fill up, they'll be more valuable in the future? Or you just, no, that's it. These are my coins, and I'm keeping my coins.
A little bit of column A and column B.
I have noticed that there's like a grocery store that I go to where they have this thing for the kids where you throw the coins and the money goes to charity,
sure.
And it rings a bell if you hit the thing or whatever.
Okay.
And then the bird goes, thanks for your donation.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. But I've noticed lately when I walk by, there's less coins in there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, because people are like afraid to part with them. Even me, like when I go in, I'll give Hayden and Dakota, my kids, I'll give them the pennies and the nickels, but I won't give them dimes or quarters. I hold on to those because I'm like, I don't even know if these will exist in a year.
You can just give the person a dollar.
Right. And you can't throw that in the fountain. Thanks for your donation.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What do you have a secret stash of?
I got a large stash of Reese's peanut butter cups at work because they're from me.
Do people come by and see you eating them, or do you share them with all your other coworkers?
Well, people know where to get them, so once in a while I get guilted into sharing, but I'm not a big, like, they're for me.
Yeah, no, they're for you, and you don't have to be under the watchful eye of your spouse or anything like that. You do whatever you want, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't need permission. You can have five of them. If you need five today, that's how many you should have.
Raven, if you could stash a secret stash of only one candy, what would it be? Only one.
It's got to be Snickers, just because it's compact, it comes straight out of the wrapper, good to go, and it's not going to sauce up my fingers with the Reese's, but the Reese's is a really close second.
I say Kit Kats because I feel like I'm getting two candy bars in one.
I shoved the whole package in my mouth at once, so it doesn't count for me that way.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What do you have a secret stash of?
I actually have a stash of toothbrushes. I just hoard them. I don't know why, but you know, I collect the ones from the dentist. I bought them in bulk at Costco, so now I have this entire drawer with just an absolutely insane number of toothbrushes.
She has a new toothbrush every day.
I like having them as a backup. I have a stash of the ones that I get from the dentist. Mm-hmm. Those are all my travel toothbrushes.
Me too,
Because my wife always buys us like better toothbrushes, so those are just my travel ones.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll use it for vacation. Toss it out. Freedom. I'm rich in toothbrush money.
A lot of people have toothbrush stashes.
Really? I always feel like I'm crazy.
Cher Gottman is from NYC Wing Woman. You can visit her online at nycwingwoman.com. She is a dating expert. And you always hear this time of year, it's cuffing season. And I think there's still some confusion as to what that means if you're single. Can
right. That sounds like prison to me.
Right. You're going to court.
Right. Right. That sounds bad. Like a bad thing.
So it's not a bad thing. So, well, cuffing season is a time of year. It happens around October through, like, end of October to around Valentine's Day in February. And what happens is it's the time where people are ready to get cuffed, meaning they're ready to get into a relationship, and they get into relationships a lot quicker and a lot easier.
Mm. Presents. People really, really, really love presents, Anna. And they don't want to be cold either.
Is it just because they're lonely for the holidays?
You know, it actually, I think that's what stimulates it, and that's kind of what starts the whole cuffing season. I think it gets people in the mood to get into those relationships. Usually around February, it starts to stop because summer is coming around. People are ready to start having fun again. But actually, there was a recent study that Hinge did. They surveyed around 1,000 people, I believe, and it showed that cuffing season is a real thing. Men are 15% more likely to want to get into a relationship during those times. So I think it's super interesting, but I think that because people are around the holidays and, you know, they're getting questions by all their grandparents, their aunts and uncles, everybody is thinking about being in relationships, and all the Hallmark movies are making Home for the Holidays special for a relationship.
Do you think that if you get with somebody for cuffing season,
fascinating,
the probability of it lasting after Valentine's Day, do you think it's pretty good, not good?
I think it depends on how long that they're together. If they're, you know, I think it's just the time of year that people are more interested to get into the relationship. It doesn't mean people want to get out of it during February. They're just possibly not looking as much for that relationship as they would be during, you know, cuffing season.
Has there ever been any indication more, I'm asking both of you here, than the fact that we hate to go to parties with our families by ourselves?
Right.
Like, we'll just pick somebody up to go. So
anyone.
If somebody picks you up, you know, the night before New Year's Eve or Christmas Eve or whatever, chances of that wrapping up quicker after Valentine's Day, I'm thinking, they're probably more probable, right? Let me just get through these months and then I'm on with my life.
Right. Well, when you go into the holidays, you know, you're getting questioned by all of your grandparents and aunts and uncles. So you probably are thinking about relationships a lot more during that time.
And I keep hearing the term this week, fast forwarding. Like, what does that mean, fast forwarding?
So people are getting into relationships and starting to think about the future and fast forwarding super quickly. So they're already thinking about the relationship, fast forwarding into the next phase of the relationship very fast. And that happens a lot during COVID as well, where people are getting into these relationships very fast and then knowing whether they want to continue the relationship, get married quickly, or get engaged faster, or be done with the relationship.
I have a question. So if you're into fast forwarding, do you say that immediately on your profile page, on your dating profile, like on Bumble or whatever? Do you say, like, I'm looking to fast forward so people know that you're not looking for that Tinder-esque kind of cuffing season that you're really want.
If we're
going to
hook up, you're going to marry me.
Right.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Right, right. I think that a lot of times is actually a turnoff. I know some people do that on the first date, but I think that people need to go in with an open mind and just kind of let it flow and see if you really connect instead of putting pressure on a date. Then usually the date doesn't go as well because there's all these expectations.
Cher Gottman, she's a New York City wingwoman. You can visit her online at nycwingwoman.com. Five calls says it all. 1-800-330-9999. If your workplace accidentally tripled your paycheck 1 week, would you say something or would you keep your big mouth shut? So in Connecticut this week, some state workers had their paychecks direct deposited into their bank accounts, except there was a little bit of a surprise because it was triple
wow.
the amount that it usually is.
I mean, that sounds pretty nice, right?
Yeah. In this instance, they
this is a bonus? They think that I'm just doing
a
great job.
Awesome.
They noticed. They finally noticed what I'm going through and what I'm dealing with.
They realize that I'm underpaid.
That's right.
And undervalued.
Yeah.
And this is their thank you.
Yeah.
Because the holidays
Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Happy holidays.
No. They caught it relatively quickly. And they took their money back immediately. Yeah.
Oh, sad.
But there's been stories like this across the country. And there's been a lot of times where the question is when you realize it, you mm-hmm. realize that that money deposited in your account, for whatever reason, isn't yours.
Yeah.
Or there's a mistake with the payroll. What do you do?
I mean, bank error in your favor, too, comes to mind, too, right? Because,
yeah.
I mean, nowadays, it's not even like you pick up a regular paper check. Everything is direct deposit. So let's say, you know, I guess with an employer, you have a relationship, and, of course, you want to keep on working there, right? So, you know, that's the biggest thing is I can steal little today or steal big today, but, you know, the bills will still be due next week or in 2 weeks or whatever. So that's something that can – would it be any different if a bank just gave you a bank error in your favor? Would you feel morally different?
I don't know.
Because
so
you see the bank as an entity and not, you know, the state or your job.
Right. But I think that when it comes to your workplace, if you work for a major corporation or a major company, like I think about – so this happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know this happened to me. So I worked for a university that shall remain nameless.
Okay.
When I was in my early 20s and I was an adjunct public speaking professor.
One of Anna's seven careers before she got into radio.
Yeah. And at the beginning of the semester, they had assigned me three classes, right? And then I don't know what happened. There was some kind of conflict, whatever, and we dropped one of the classes.
Okay.
So I was only teaching two of the classes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Raven can attest that I am not like the person that manages our finances in my family. My
no.
husband is the finance guy. I don't even know what gets deposited. It's terrible.
You're detail-oriented on everything except the money.
I let Paul handle the money,
right?
So I didn't realize it until I got the end of the year, like when, you know, when they send you the W-2s and
sure.
how much money you make.
Yeah.
I go, that number doesn't seem right. Because it wasn't a whole lot of money. It's an adjunct professor position, you know? But they had paid me for the three classes and not the two classes.
Nice.
Right.
Nice.
But that's the problem, because then you're faced with the moral conundrum where
yeah.
do I speak up and do I say something, and now I got to pay back this $1,600 or
yeah.
whatever it was,
yeah.
you know, whatever the difference was, or do I just keep my big mouth shut? Because at this point, a whole year has gone by.
Right.
And, like, they didn't notice. Like, what am I going to do? Make a big deal?
I mean, morality aside, just fear, too. Do you want to keep the job or do
yes.
you not want to keep the job? Right?
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess the question, and you're probably wondering what I did. And I, like, slept on it for a long time. I really, really did. And then, essentially, I sent an email to HR.
Yeah.
Because I was like, that's what I'm going to do. It'll get it off my chest. And do you know they never replied to my email?
Nice.
Never replied. And I just kept that email. And it's been like, what, 20 years now? 18 years? I just keep it just in case.
Just in case. Smart move.
I sent this.
Covered your bases.
I did that.
Right. That's great.
But Five Calls says it all. If your workplace accidentally deposited extra money into your bank account, would you say something or would you keep your mouth shut? It's 1-800-330-9999. Five Calls says it all. 1-800-330-9999. Some state workers had their paychecks tripled by accident and direct deposited into their account. Now, in this instance, they caught it, they took the money back, and that was it. But if your company accidentally doubled your pay or put extra money in your account, would you say something?
Man, if I could get it in a bonus and make a cash withdrawal, I might fake my own death.
On our text line, yes, say something. It happened to me. I told them. And then the next 3 weeks, I worked for nothing practically. If I would have let it go, it would have taken a lot longer.
Okay.
1-800-330-9999. Five Calls says it all. What would you do?
I think that I would look at the situation. For example, he did say it was your career, so I would have given the money back. But if it was a company that was already being a pain in my butt, I would have kept the money and eventually just bounced with it.
See you later. I'm moving on.
Right. I mean, it's honest, right?
Unfortunately, the time is a lot of times they're going to review your paperwork when you tell them you're leaving the job. So they'll be like, okay, great. Good luck. You owe us $1,600 or we're calling the police.
Yeah, thank you for the call. I'm telling you, a lot of companies, I don't think even realize it. I hate to say it, but they're such big corporations that amount, like, it doesn't even reflect in their paperwork.
Five calls says it all. Are you keeping the money or are you letting the company know that they screwed up?
One of the things that I don't think anyone's taking into consideration, if you don't say anything and they take it back, they take it all back at one shot. And so can you survive without having that money?
Well, that's the thing, right? That's how you get busted. If you've spent the money before they go back and take it back out, then they know that you saw it was there and you handed it out all over the place.
But I feel like you could say, I didn't realize. I don't know. Maybe you play dumb. You don't play dumb. I mean, it's always a moral problem more than anything. It's like, how am I going to sleep with myself at night?
And Ann Raven, Five Calls says it all. What are you doing with the cash?
Oh, gosh. I would probably have to say something about it. I don't think I could live with myself if I just kept the money. I'd feel so guilty if I didn't say anything. Oh, my gosh. But it would be very tempting to just keep my big mouth shut, for sure.
But you would still say something.
Yeah.
Yep.
Out of fear, though. Out of fear.
Well, of course you do it out of fear.
There's no other good reason. There's no other motivator.
Well, but
out
you
of
do
fear
it
is what you say.
It's right. You have to do what's right.
So your fear is not of the company necessarily there.
It's of God.
It's right. Okay. Yeah, it's fear of God. Okay. Yeah. I just want to make sure I was clear on that.
Right.
All right.
Hi, it's Anna Raven. Five Calls says it all. What would you do?
I would have to say something. I mean, just, you know, out of fear of getting fired. What if, you know, what if it's like a trap kind of thing? It was just like, too many things.
A trap.
Maybe.
It's a test.
It's 100% a test by your HR.
Yeah, a test.
To see how
thing,
about,
you know,
like, yeah, if you're a good person.
Well, I mean, I hear what you're saying as far as probably saying something, just because I believe they're going to figure it out. But let's say it's a massive company and you've got to ask somebody, right? You've got to ask a friend. You've got to imply to your work best friend or whatever. So therefore, it's like a body you got to get rid of, Anna. Like, you got to impart some sort of, you know, crime by talking to your friend about it in the first place. And then there's the question is, do your friend going to say something? Because if you think that it only happened to you, well, what's the chances they will actually notice? Right.
Right.
But if it happened to everybody on the floor and it's a company full of 5,000 people, well, again, what's the chances they actually will notice? Now,
I wonder if you say anything to your coworkers, you probably just keep your mouth shut, right?
I
don't know.
Right, and I set the money aside in case they come back for it, and then I act shocked. Oh, I never even balanced my checkbook. I have no idea what's in there.
Yeah.
Whoa, I should have spent it. Make some jokes about it. 10 people in the office, though, I'm thinking they're going to figure it out.
Yeah. Ultimately, I was really surprised and happy that so many people said that you got to let your company know. But I also wonder how many people didn't call if they were like, nope, I keep my mouth shut, right?
That's right. Loose lips sink ships. Keep it all to yourself.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Brandon and Abby. Abby, let's start with you. What's going on?
My 12-year-old son just had a big project for school, and my husband was helping him a lot to the point where, you know, he did probably most of the work, like, where, you know, it was one of those situations. And
I wouldn't say most of the work.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on. Sorry.
Helped him a lot with him through the entire project, making sure everything went well. And his teacher just reached out and kind of, you know, was asking, how much of this did you do? You clearly had help. And my thought is that we should just come clean and, you know, let her know. And my husband disagrees.
Brandon, what's your side of this?
I mean, first of all, it's a really complicated project for a 12-year-old. Secondly, I didn't do the whole thing. Our son made all of the decisions. It's like they're asking him to do construction work. But, like, this is a lot for a 12-year-old. They should have been more clear on, like, are you supposed to do this entirely on your own? I mean, they even told him to ask your parents for help. It's like, and I can see why.
Mm.
So I feel like now it's very hypocritical that they're coming back at us in this accusatory manner and acting like our kids somehow cheated or something or didn't do the work when he was there every step of the way. He was making the decisions. It was a learning experience for him, which I would think is the entire point of the project. I don't see why he's being singled out or why we would come clean as if we've done something wrong.
I mean, I can remember being younger, Anna, and being in school and seeing some projects come in and clearly knowing that kids had help, you know, clearly knowing that their parents had done a good portion of it, and yet them being rewarded. So on the one hand, I get what you're saying. I mean, not being in that classroom, not knowing how even keel it is with that teacher. Teachers are just human beings, so they decide what it is that they're going to focus on that day or not, right? Just like anybody else does.
But I mean, if a teacher knows... Like, you know,
yeah,
you know what your student is capable of, and you know what shows up in your classroom, then why would you question the parent? You already have your answer. Like, I do understand right. where Brandon is coming from, where it's an uncomfortable situation, and what are you supposed to do? Like, plead guilty? Like, I don't understand.
And where's the line, right? So this person got some help from their parent, but their parent wasn't as good at it. Or, you know, like, where's the line here? Like, we don't know.
But maybe, let's be honest, Brandon. I have been guilty of this, not so much recently, but, you know, when Hayden was a lot younger. Sometimes you're working on a project, and it all of a sudden it becomes mom and dad's project, and, you know, your child is off in another room watching TV.
Mm.
So I do see kind of both sides, but the big question, I guess, is how do you respond to this email? And Abby, you want to just say, yes, we did it completely with him, but Brandon, you want to say no, just helped him a little bit, right?
Well, right, that's the point. It's like he wasn't off in the other room. We're not like, ooh, we're working on the project now. No, we don't. It's his project. He was there every step of the way, understanding what was happening. We're not guilty of anything, but yeah, we are bad. We took over. Like, no, we didn't.
Okay, so let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Brandon. You respond and you say, we helped him when he needed it, but we certainly did not do this project for him. End of call. And she's just got to take it for what it is. But they may see Abby's side. You did a lot of the project. Admit it. You did a lot of the project. And just coming clean to the teacher and saying, yes, we helped him a lot. He had a hard time with this project and he needed assistance. There's nothing wrong with that either.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
It's so funny, Raven. I can see the difference in the text line of when the teachers are texting and when the parents are texting. You can clearly see. So as a teacher myself, one text reads, you need to be honest because we are not able to assess what your child is capable of if you're doing the work for them. Okay. And then another one says, I'm on the father's side. The kid was there all the time. And if the child was there, then he should get credit for doing the project himself.
I mean, let me just state the obvious here. It's December. I mean, so you're still figuring out what the gauge of your kid can do at that point. What does it matter if the parents are helping or not, especially if you instruct the kids to get help from their parents if they need it?
Brandon and Abby have a 12-year-old son. Brandon basically admitted that he did his son's project, a science project. He helped
he
him the whole time.
That. He said he helped him the entire time, but the kid was there making the decisions the entire time. Abby thinks they need to confess like they did all the work. He was in the room. He was with them working on the project.
Yeah, but the teacher specifically emailed them and said, did you do this project for him? You know, and like they don't know how to respond. He says, no, we should tell him no. We didn't do it. Like, he did it on his own. But Abby says we should fess up.
Yeah, teachers, don't act like teachers aren't human beings either and come up with their own preconceived notions about what a kid can do and they can't do, too. Maybe the kid stepped up this time.
Uh-huh. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Your calls and a verdict are coming up next. Brandon and Abby have a 12-year-old son. He had just a science project that was due, having a hard time with it. So Brandon worked with him a lot on it. They just got an email from the teacher asking, hey, did you do the project or did your child do the project? Brandon says, well, why is she even asking? We should just, like, kind of ignore the email or say no. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Abby thinks that it's time for a full confession to let the teacher know exactly where they stand. That way, nobody is penalized. But, you know, again, this was a project that they told the kids to get help from their parents that they needed it. So maybe a conversation's in an order, but how much help are you supposed to give when they tell you to ask your parents for help?
Right. But what do you think? Would you just fess up and say, yes, we helped a lot? Or would you just be like, nope, did it on his own? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
I'm on the wife's side. First of all, the husband doesn't know if anyone else in the class parents got an email either. As a teacher, the teacher said to him, did you help? She didn't excuse, put the ball in his court. I think he feels guilty for doing all of it. And maybe it was just a nice way of the teacher setting a tone for the future to not help quite as much.
Yeah. Sounds like a Senate inquiry.
Yeah, right? Thank
I'll
you.
I'll be there with my attorney. Thank you very much.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on Abby's side. However, I think this is their opportunity to say it was a little bit too much for the kid 12 years old to do it by himself. But a teacher never gives out an assignment and says, oh, geez, I hope parents really take over and you know, make this look great. Second of all, I don't think home assignments should be even given, because as parents, we want our kids to succeed. But Brendan is giving the kid the message that you can't do this on your own. You're not good enough. So I'm going to do it for you. So I'm an Abby son.
And on Raven, whose side are you on?
So I'm on the husband's side, because I had that happen to me once. That'll never happen again. My first child, when he was in kindergarten, they had a teddy bear project, and they had to cut out a teddy bear and glue it together and decorate him. And I, you know, said, this is your project, and I wanted him to do it. And he was a five-year-old and scribbled on it, and, you know, it looked like a five-year-old had done it. And they ended up being displayed all over the school when you walk in. All the other ones were done with clothes and props, and they were done like I couldn't even have done one that good. I was so embarrassed, and I felt so bad for my son that my next three kids, I'd learn, I had to, you know, step in and help.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Abby, our audience agreed with you. Come clean and say, yes, this was very hard for our son, and we did a majority of the work with him to get it done. And, you know, if you have any guidance in the future, we're happy to hear it. Otherwise, you don't want her to penalize your son for really the work that you did.
Yeah, and I'm so glad, because I don't want, you know, his teacher to think he's a liar. You know, I think it's pretty easy to just say, yeah, we helped. I mean, how much are we supposed to help in the future? I didn't think there was anything wrong with this, you know?
Let this be a lesson to you, Brandon. When you help in the future, do a poor job.
Great.
Yep. Just do a junky job. All right. You know, make sure your lines aren't quite that straight. If you got to paint anything, forget a couple drips in there. Yeah.
That's it.
Hmm.
You don't sound too happy.
I mean, we'll definitely be adding that our son was there the whole time. Like, yeah, it was hard for him, and we did maybe too much. But, yeah, we're going to make it clear that he was there for it.
I mean, I get it. And I would express my displeasure with the question, given the instructions that you were given. Why not? Can't hurt.
If you have a problem, yeah, too, send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot up to $1,800 thanks to HelloFresh. HelloFresh delivers farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and recipes to my door so I can enjoy holiday dinners without hours of prep and cleanup. Get 14 free meals plus 3 free gifts with code ANNA14 at HelloFresh.com/ANNA14. Jerry, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Jerry.
All right, Jerry. We have $1,800 on the line right now. When that big door closes, Raven can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one, and I'll bring Raven back in and ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Yes.
Number 1, Adam Levine got a rose tattoo on his face. He considers himself a master of what board game where letters are on tiles and each have a point value?
Scrabble.
Number 2, Little Tykes is offering a kid-sized Peloton bike called a Pelican. It's a spin bike for young kids. What Peloton instructor was a competitor on Dancing with the Stars?
I have no idea.
Number 3, Annie Live on NBC was a hit, and the young actress Selena Smith that played Annie is getting a lot of praise. What's the name of the character that is the head of the orphanage?
I have no idea.
Number 4, Alex Rodriguez said recently that he'll be spending a lot of time with his daughters this Christmas after his split from Jennifer Lopez. A-Rod is a former pro baseball player, but he's also part owner of what NBA team?
Celtics.
And number 5, Lady Gaga is obviously a singer, but she's had numerous acting roles, including American Horror Story, A Star is Born, and now her new movie, House of Gucci. What HBO drama did she have her first TV cameo back in 2003?
No idea.
All right, let me bring Raven back in. Come on, Raven.
Yo.
Jerry only got one right.
Oh, Jerry, not too good. $1,800. Let's see how I do.
All right, number 1, Adam Levine got a rose tattoo on his face. He considers himself a master of what board game where letters are on tiles and each have a point value?
That's Scrabble.
That's right. Number 2, Little Tykes is offering a kid-sized Peloton bike called a Pelican. It's a spin bike for young kids. What Peloton instructor was a competitor on Dancing with the Stars?
It was Cody.
Yes. Number 3, Annie Live on NBC was a hit, and the young actress Selena Smith that played Annie is getting a lot of praise. What's the name of the character that is the head of the orphanage?
It's Miss Hannigan.
Yes.
Come on.
Number 4, Alex Rodriguez said recently he'll be spending a lot of time with his daughters this Christmas after his split from J-Lo. A-Rod is a former pro baseball player, but he's a part owner of what NBA team?
It's the Bucks, Milwaukee.
No, Minnesota Timberwolves.
That's right. right. Dang it. Another M.
Number five, Lady Gaga is obviously a singer, and she's had numerous acting jobs, too, including American Horror Story, Star is Born, and her new movie, House of Gucci. Mm. But what HBO drama did she have her very first TV cameo back in 2003?
Gosh. HBO drama, 2003. Sopranos? I'll just take a shot and say Sopranos.
Sopranos is right.
What?
Yeah. I'm sorry, Jerry. He beat you 4-1 this morning. That gets you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
My name's Jerry, and I can't beat Raven.
Well, thanks for trying, Jerry. Hold on the line.
Better luck next time, Jerry. Enjoy that free shirt, buddy. $1,900 Monday.
That's a whole lot of money. You think you can take Raven down in pop culture trivia? Go sign up now to play at annaandraven.com.
It's time for Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Come to Mama.
Anna and Raven.
What'd you do this week, Mama, to earn your margarita? You could be a dad, too. You could have human children, fur children. We don't care. 1-800-330-9999. Dakota, my toddler, is sick. She's been sick it's almost 2 weeks now. I already brought her to the pediatrician last week. They said she was fine. They did the COVID test and all that, which is so scary for a parent.
Sure, of course.
Everything was negative. I thought she was getting better. Last night, she spiked a fever of 103.9.
That's scary.
Yeah.
That's scary.
This morning, according to my husband, she's at 101, so obviously she's staying home. But, you know, it's the worst. It's the worst when your kids are sick and you just want to help them. You want them to get better and be back to normal.
Now, you earned your margarita for coming in this morning while all that was going on.
Well, what am I
going
to do? You know. That's what we signed up for.
Yeah. I do know.
What did you do this week? Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
Okay, so a couple weeks ago, my five-year-old heard me say the S word and repeated it. So, you know, I vowed to quit swearing, and it's been 2 weeks, and I haven't sworn at all.
All right.
How are you doing it?
It's so hard. Replacement words. That's the key.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. That makes sense because it's the more comfortable. Listen, when I walk into a place I don't know anybody, or if I'm having a conversation with somebody I just met, that's easy. All right. It's easy for me because of what we do, Anna. I can turn it off and on. But it's when I'm comfortable with you that it's just going to come out.
Yeah.
So if I'm running into family or friends or whatever, I mean, I sound the same as if I'm talking about something that I'm super excited about or super angry about. I sound the same.
One of my good girlfriends, Rita, she does this thing. She does it for Lent. And I told her, I'm like, I don't understand why you only do it for Lent. But she quits swearing for Lent. But she puts a rubber band around her wrist.
Yeah.
And every time she does it, she snaps herself. So, like, I'll be on the phone with her. And, all of a sudden, I hear, like, snap, snap, snap. And then she's like, ah! I'm like, what are you doing? Like, just stop swearing permanently. Then you don't have to wear this rubber band for 40 days out of the year.
Yeah. Some people work good with a little bit of pain, I guess.
Enjoy that margarita, Mama.
Thanks.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What did you do this week to earn your margarita?
My car was making all of these bizarre sounds. It sounded like the transmission was going to fall out, like, legitimately. So I broke down on the side of the highway with my twins asleep in the back of the car in their car seats. I kept it together. I called AAA. I called my husband. I did not break down. The twins kept sleeping until my husband was able to get there and rescue us. And the car got towed away. And I just kept my cool and did not lose it or freak out. So I feel like that's deserving.
I'm always scared of breaking down with the kids in the car or God forbid, get into an accident with the kids in the car. That's one of my biggest nightmares.
Breaking down in general is
terrible.
No fun. Right?
No.
I mean, it used to happen a lot more. Cars were less reliable.
Yeah.
When it happens now, it's like shocking. Like we're like stuck on an island. Like what do we do with ourselves?
I saw a car fire the other day. It was horrific. Like it's so jarring because you don't see it that much anymore like you used to, you know?
Right.
Backed up traffic for like 3 hours.
The kids, though, that's the challenge. And they stayed asleep. That was fantastic. Right. Good job, Mom.
You enjoy that margarita. Mm-hmm. You deserved it.
Thanks, guys.
So earlier this week, we were talking about how Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell, they have this parenting tip, or they call it a hack, where they aggressively scratch their children's heads for 90 seconds, and it puts those kids to sleep right away.
I don't want to be judgmental, but I think that either they're lying to themselves or their kids are crazy people.
Well, the funny part is I tried it on both my daughters. I have an almost 13-year-old and a 3-year-old, and neither of them liked it, and neither of them went to sleep. But when we did it in the studio and Raven was scratching my head, Raven, I could have passed out. I was like, I am about 5 seconds from face down in the studio and going to sleep.
This time of year, you're working like 60 hours a week. Right? I mean, you can fall asleep anywhere. I've been passing out on the couch at 7 o'clock, sitting there watching a TV show with my wife. She's so mad.
So we figured maybe this doesn't just work for kids. Maybe it works for adults. And let's be honest, so many of us have sleeping issues anyway.
That's true.
Maybe it could put us to bed. So we started. I tried it with my husband, Paul.
I'm going to aggressively scratch your head for 90 seconds to see if it makes you feel so comfortable that you think you can fall asleep.
Is this like a dandruff test or something? Or?
No, it's supposed to make you go to bed. Okay, ready?
Okay.
You can close your eyes if you want.
I'm not a dog.
Do you feel like it should go to sleep? What if I go back and forth like this?
I don't see this making me fall asleep, but actually I did read once that, you know, going back and forth on a dog's back is supposed to be very nurturing for them.
Do you find this nurturing?
Maybe you can scratch behind my ear.
Do you think you could fall asleep to that?
Fall asleep? No.
I like a back scratch myself, you know, while we're doing that, if we're taking votes.
See, he said he didn't like it, but I think he did.
Really?
Yeah. Like,
lying to you.
I think he was lying. He was saying no, but the way his eyes were rolling into the back of
his head.
His
body said yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think that statement has gotten a lot of people into trouble over the years. So I would say, right, his mouth said no, but then his body said yes. Okay, that sounds terrible.
And then he was snoring 13 seconds later. Yeah. So then, Raven, you did it to wife Alicia.
Yeah, and it went just the way I thought it would.
That's 90 seconds is a long, wow. Easy.
Says aggressively.
I mean, you're going to break my hair. Stop.
Can you break hair?
Yeah. Don't break my hair.
Is it relaxing?
No, I'm afraid you're going to break all my hair.
Are you getting sleepy?
No, I'm getting angry. Look what you did to my head.
You could use a brush.
That didn't go so well.
Right before bed, too. Right before bed, which is always good if you planned on cuddling before that.
My favorite part of all this, though, is that Raven took it upon himself to then try it on his dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen to this.
I wonder if Barkley likes it. You want Daddy rub you? I wonder if Daddy rub you. Can I help you go sleep? He doesn't seem to mind it.
The way you talk to your dog is ridiculous. I love you.
He's my best friend.
You're my best friend forever. I love Barkley so much. I go rub you. I'll scratch your back. You go to sleep in 90 seconds. It's so nice.
He did go to sleep rather quickly after that.
Right. So it works on dogs. That's what we got.